Hello, Radio Memphis and DJ Bay Show. This is Kathleen Davison, and I'm here with Pamela Beatty. And we're making good on some technical issues we had on the live show today, so we're going to give you an awesome podcast instead and pick it up next Saturday live. And we hope that you'll join us, and because we'll take live callers on the show next Saturday. And every Saturday this month, right up through Halloween morning, where we're talking real paranormal. Yes, we're talking the actual ghost stories behind the making of my film, Primrose Lane. And right now we're celebrating, we're coming up on the release of the film in 2016. We were so happy to give a little sneak peek at the Memphis International Film and Music Festival, where Primrose Lane is honored to have won for first place feature film. And we want to keep the story going. We want to keep it live with Memphis. So today, we're going to start at the very beginning. We're talking the real story behind the story. And this was based, the inspiration for the film is based on actual paranormal events that happened in a home that I lived in for 6 years with my family. And I have here Pamela Beatty, and I'm going to quickly introduce who she is and what she does before we kind of get the story rolling here. Now, in the context of my experience with Pamela, she initially came in as someone I had gone to when I was doing research for the show, or for the film, to try to better understand what was going on in the house. And then later on, and we're going to walk you through the chronology of the events as we tune in each week with you, but she actually came to do an investigation of the home at a point when the activity really spiked. Now, by trade, Pamela is not a paranormal investigator. What she does is work with the soul. I'm going to let her explain it to you in a little more detail. Pamela,
tell them
what you do.
Okay. Hi. Thanks, Kathleen. Well, by trade, I'm an empathic, intuitive, a past life therapist, and a spirit medium. So I do speak with spirits all the time that are on the other side. But it's not something I do. I mean, it's something I do every day, but it's not something I get paid to do every day. So if it... Because to me, and I've told you this, to me, if it has anything to do with the soul, that's what I do. And so part of that is what they call paranormal investigations. But like I told you before, it's not paranormal to me. It's normal to me, because that's how I see the world. That's how I see life, is through those eyes. So that's what I do.
All right. And if this is hard for you to grasp, if you're going, no, I'm a skeptic, I don't believe any of this, this woman's a charlatan, and I'm not buying the snake oil, it's okay. Stay with us, because I have to tell you, I'm a skeptic too. I don't believe anything I can't see, hear, touch, experience, and I wouldn't believe the story either if I hadn't personally experienced it. So we welcome your skepticism. Nobody's here to try to convert you or sell you anything. Hopefully you'll get something out of following along. So stay with us. Okay, let's get to the story. So I'm a filmmaker, and one of the first films I worked on when I arrived in L.A. was shooting in a small town about an hour outside of L.A., and I had an incredible sense when I was there of I could live here. Not now. I was young. I was single. But I just had a sense of an appreciation that went beyond this is a cool little town. And fast forward, when I got married, had kids, the second I had kids, I felt so compelled to get out of L.A. and to go back and find that place. I still remembered it. And I went on a quest with my husband trying to figure out where it was, because I couldn't remember the actual name of the town. I knew it was within an hour radius, but didn't even know which direction. Long story short, I find it. And it turns out one of the first people I met in L.A. lived there, and that was how I ended up ultimately pinpointing it. And the second that I got back to that town, I immediately recognized it. I felt like it was a homecoming. Then the journey to find the house that I ended up living in didn't come easily. I spent a number of weekends driving a realtor nuts, going back, looking at all these homes, and not finding the right match. And in one of these visits, she said, hey, I just want to show you a house. It's not what you're looking for. It's twice as big, but I know you like older homes, and I think you'll appreciate it. So it's open and empty. So let's just go have a look at it before you you leave. I walk into this home, and I walk into the parlor, and I stand in front of the mantle, and I have an overwhelming sense of not just I'm home, but this is my house. And I couldn't shake it. And I didn't say anything initially because it was ludicrous. It was twice as big as what we were looking for or could afford. But I couldn't shake the feeling. And so after 3 days of dreaming about the house and thinking about the house, I finally said to my husband, look, I know this makes no sense, but I can't get that house out of my head. I feel like I belong there. And we ended up renting the house instead of buying it. We ended up renting it to give this big behemoth a test drive. And the day that we signed the lease, by the way, the realtor owned the home, the day that we signed the lease with her, one of the last things she said to me was, are you sure that you're going to be okay here with a baby and just you alone? She knew that my husband would be gone a lot with work. At the time, it was just me and an 18-month-old baby and a little dog. And I said, hey, I'm an independent woman. I'll be fine. And she said, okay, because you should just know that the house makes noises. And the way she said it seemed not to imply the typical creaks and groans that a 100-year-old home would be expected to make. It only took me the first night of being there to start to get a clue of maybe what she meant. So the first night that I arrive, my husband was staying at our apartment that we were moving out of. I'm there with my mother and with the baby. And I'm at the top of the staircase. And the house is really dark. There's a light on upstairs. I, at this point, don't know where all the light switches are. So I just said, oh, I'm going to turn it out because I don't know if I can turn it out once I get down. Right after I turn the light switch out and go to take the first step down the stairs, I hear a woman's voice in my right ear. It's so present that it's as if I can hear her breath and feel her breath on my skin. And she just said my name. She just said Kathleen. You know, I practically jumped out of my skin. I tear down the stairs. I tell my mother that the house is talking to me. I uncomfortably brush this off as an act of imagination. We went on to have every member of the family at one point or another over the first year to year and a half, and then eventually later when my daughter was born years later, it also happened to her. Every member of the family was spoken to at some point by this woman's disembodied voice. And in every circumstance, they assumed that it was me. Now, since I was the only other woman in the house, that's a natural assumption. But it gets a little creepier because there were also visitors to the house, some of whom saw a woman in the guest room, which was downstairs. And when I asked them to describe what she looked like, one of the women said, well, she looked kind of like you if you were older. And that was unnerving. Now we're going to jump back to Pamela. Pamela, when people arrive in homes and they have this sense of belonging, and I'm not talking, I like the architecture, there's a cool swimming pool in back, I'm not talking that. Can you talk to us? Is there any greater significance to that in your opinion?
Sure. There's a couple of reasons. The first one of them is subconscious cellular memory, which is from past lives. So if you've seen that house before, you've been in that house before, you could have lived in that house before. So your subconscious mind will recognize it and make you feel familiar. The other is a higher consciousness recognition, which is before you even get to the house, your higher consciousness is trying to tell you, yes, this is your home. Yes, no, you're supposed to live here. This is your home. This is where you belong. It's from your higher consciousness. It's like a deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's what most people would consider it, as like a deja vu, like I've been here before. And because what's happening is the subconscious mind is recording the cellular memory and the current moment at the same time. So with any deja vu. So you've got two elements going. And I believe your higher consciousness in this case was very powerfully telling you, this is your home. This is your home. This is where you're supposed to be.
Okay. So now I want to give you a contrast, because like I said, I arrive and I feel like this is my home. Most other people who arrived at this home had a very different greeting. And Pamela is one of them. So can you tell us what your experience was arriving at the house?
Absolutely. So for me, I live the paranormal, like I said, every day. I mean, it's just something I do. So it doesn't scare me. It doesn't frighten me. It's how I see the world. It's through those eyes. So when I was driving up the hill, Kathleen, it was as if I was driving into another dimension. I felt it. So I felt this house so powerfully. And then when I pulled into the driveway, I got an even stronger feeling of, oh my God, there's something going on in this house, which is normal for me, right? I mean, it's how I see the world. And then when I started to get out of my car, I looked up at the house, and there standing in the attic was a woman looking out the window. And when I looked up at her, she stood there and she just shook her head. When I say woman, it was a female spirit. And she shook her head as if to say, oh, no, you don't. You're not welcome here. Go away. Of course, I didn't listen. But and I went in anyway. But that was my first experience of it.
All right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to invite you to join us. We're going to be coming back. We're just setting you up with a quick segment today. But we're going to be coming back every weekend in October on Radio Memphis on the DJ Bay Show. And we're going to invite callers to call in. You can connect. Pamela will be here with us. You can share your experience, and we'll continue to share ours as we move on. But as we wrap up today, just to give you a little cliffhanger, and by the way, you can also tune in and find the free podcast. Each week we'll be posting it on the Primrose Lane Movie page on Facebook. So if you just go to Facebook and put in Primrose Lane Movie. Now, really quick, I'll share with you a little bit more about this woman speaking to my family and other visitors to the home. The first time that she spoke to my husband was several months into living there, and he was going up the staircase. And you're going to hear as we go on each week, there's a lot of activity on the staircase. And I was in the living room, probably about 30 feet away from him, and he turned and said, what? What did you say? And I didn't say anything. And he said, no, you just said my name. So with the two of us, the first thing she said was just simple. It was our name. There was nothing threatening. When people say, well, right away, the first night you're there, you have activity, why don't you get the hell out? And the answer is, it didn't seem that threatening, and we were ready to dismiss it as our imaginations. The third person in the family she spoke to was my son. And at the time, he was about 1 year old, and he was in the bathtub. It was in the upstairs, and I had stepped away. I was still in the bathroom with him, but had stepped away from him, and he turned and said, Mama, Mama, what? And I said, I didn't say anything. He said, yes, Mom, you say, come downstairs. I didn't. Now, that bothered me, because that was someone who wasn't me giving a message to my child to go somewhere without my consent. So that's where we're going to trail off. Pamela, do you have anything you want to tag on that?
Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that had happened. You know, this woman's spirit was so connected to you. And it's funny, when I tuned into her just now, and like I said, I went to the house and did a lot of stuff there. But when I tuned into her just now, she felt like a twin sister of yours. Mm. And so I'm not sure, or not a separated at birth, but a sister. Oh, my God, that's it. Oh, wow. In that lifetime that she existed in that house, mm-hmm. That's what it was. You were her sister, and I feel like she got pulled away from you and moved away from you. Mm. Oh, my God. I've never seen this before, right?
Well, you're tripping me out. Part of what you're going to find, and part of what became so fascinating to us with the story, and why we're sharing the behind-the-scenes story with you, is when we did eventually have paranormal investigators come in, and this is after we had made the film, long after the script had been written, we found that their findings overlapped with what I had written, that I believed was fiction. So you'll see how some of what you just said, Pamela, you're freaking me out, it actually ties into the ongoing series.
Oh,
but today
wow.
We got to wrap it up. So there we are, episode one. Tune in on Saturday, DJ Bay Radio Show, Radio Memphis. And if you miss us, check back for the podcast. We'll talk to you soon.